Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Oh, man, I missed that story that apparently just aired on the Fox News radio update. I know several of our listeners, certainly if you're on 880 KJJR Kalispell, 970 KBU of Billings, I know KMMS is a Fox News radio affiliate. But, of course, we've got our great friends in Great Falls listening right now on KINX. But if you heard the Fox News radio update, apparently Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, the secretary of the Department of Trans, as I always do shorthand, under Joe Biden, what was he saying about the Maryland cargo ship crash and the bridge collapse? And what was he saying about inflation? Are they somehow looking for a scapegoat now for the inflation that they've caused? I missed it. I was chatting with Tyler Johnson with Octane Addictions. They've got their Big Air Bash coming up this weekend in Billings. And so I was BSing with him here just before we kicked off our program here in the 8 o'clock hour. And so I missed the Fox News update. So I'll have to go back and see if there's a story that just got posted on the Fox News radio affiliate website for us here to see exactly what Buttigieg is saying. My goodness. It was interesting. Yesterday, I played audio of our conversation with Kirk Ryder, this Billings, Montana native who's an expert in the maritime industry. You know, he's basically been in this industry since the 1980s, and it was a very interesting conversation, and I'd be interested in hearing more of what your thoughts are after hearing that conversation. And he kind of outlined everything of here's why it could have just been an accident, here is why this, you know, cargo ship crashing into the bridge in Maryland is likely an accident. Because if this went wrong and then this goes wrong and then you have this problem. And so he basically laid out with his expertise of why everything likely happened the way that it did and was likely an accident based on his expertise. Now the Biden administration, you know, now, of course, they're going to look to blame all of their problems, blame all of their inflation that they have caused on this. It sounds like, and that certainly would not surprise me in the least, because look, we know that inflation started massively skyrocketing after the ARPA bill got shoved down our throats, after liberal Senator John Tester and every single Democrat in a party line vote, no Republicans supported the ARPA. That's when Dr. Pat Barkey from the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research, that's when he told us right here on these radio stations that carry his Economic Minute. This was several months ago when he aired this report. He said that is when inflation started massively spiking and we started seeing this skyrocketing inflation. And now, I don't know if you've heard the new numbers, but now it used to be $11,000 a year. Now the new numbers show that Montanans are losing $12,000 a year because of the Joe Biden John Tester inflation. But Pete Buttigieg, who's overseeing all these train wrecks, all these bridge collapses, all these aviation accidents and incidents and more, he's going to blame, he's looking for a scapegoat on inflation.
Will you owe income tax on the sale of your home? I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Whether you will owe tax when you sell your home depends on how much the home's value has appreciated and if it's your primary residence. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says there are IRS rules.
If you lived in it 2 out of the last 5 years, you can exclude up to $250,000 if you're single or $500,000 if you're married filing jointly.
Zellin says if you sell your house early in the year, you may need to make estimated tax payments on the gain, or you may owe a penalty. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
This
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, apparently according to this Fox News radio report where they quoted the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, what's he been doing as secretary, by the way, in the midst of all these train wrecks, bridge collapses, all these aviation industry incidents, accidents, parts falling off, windows coming off mid-flight. We even had a bridge collapse, a railroad bridge collapse here in Montana. I mean, in our conversation yesterday, you know, this maritime investigator that we talked with said, we don't typically see these types of incidents here in America. But he said he's seen them all over, you know, the Far East over the years as he's investigated crashes just like this. And yeah, why is it that a lot of this stuff that we don't typically see here in America, we have been seeing here in America in the past 3 years, in particular since Joe Biden and John Tester took power, right? And that's the big picture here. But yeah, Buttigieg, who is part of the Biden cabinet, who is part of the Biden administration, who is supporting this radical left-wing agenda, he is saying, well, I hope that because, you know, now these cargo ships have to reroute to other ports, I hope it doesn't cause inflation. He's looking for a scapegoat, isn't he? He's looking for somebody else to blame when we know. Look, we've already seen massive inflation when the bridge was still up and running. We have already seen this massive inflation. This is one thing I've been talking about as we've been doing this statewide tour separate from the radio show is one reason we've been doing these events from restaurants in particular is to highlight the fact that massive government spending is causing all of us, costing all of us. You know, like I was talking with all these great folks in Lodgegrass on Monday morning, and I said, look, here's the deal. I said, this massive government spending that Joe Biden and John Tester are pushing out there, and what did we hear recently with that national debt forum that we had on the show with former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum and State Senator Tom McGillivray? They're adding $1 trillion every 100 days. And so you think about it, and this is what I was, you know, chatting with our friends in Lodgegrass about as we got to meet 200-plus people. I was saying, look, here's the deal. It says, they're spending all this money, a massive government spending, and they're giving it to all these other countries, and they're giving it to these illegal aliens, all these other people that are breaking into this country right now. And you and I and everybody in this room right now is paying for it. Money is coming out of our pockets and going to them. And everybody gets it, right? And that's what's so outrageous. And so because we've seen, and so one of the reasons why we're going, you know, to, you know, grocery stores are obvious because everybody knows it. They know that the prices on everything have gone up drastically, and it's because of the massive government's. Well, not everybody knows that it's because of the massive government spending, but they know that there's massive price increases because of inflation, right? And so, but restaurants in particular, the latest numbers, this was a Bloomberg News story, the latest numbers say that restaurant inflation is up 24%. 24% now because of the Biden Tester inflation. So that's why we've been doing some of these events at restaurants. But no, Pete Buttigieg, who couldn't even fill potholes as mayor of Indiana, of a town in Indiana, is now overseeing all of these disasters. But you'll have to forgive him. He was on a 4-month paternity leave. He's wasn't necessarily on the job the entire time. So, but now he's looking for a scapegoat. So he's going to say, as he taps his foot on the floor, I really hope this doesn't cause more inflation. Good night. Let's get into your phone calls here. We got the phone lines open on the program right now, 294-0970. Charlie in Whitefish, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
So,
Charlie, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Charlie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. Sorry to interrupt your conversation there.
Oh, no, my work was off. Hey, so anyway, just quick thought. My son is U.S. Merchant Marine, graduated Kings Point. He works in the shipping industry.
Oh, wow.
And so the one thing that I think about, and I'm a lifetime maritime person, and the one thing I think about is these people that run on the ships, A, they're in a closed knit area, like on a ship. Half the ships don't even have internet when they're out at sea. So it's hard for them to garner any type of, the conspiracy theories and all that. They're just, out of touch with most things most of the time. And so, but the other thing I was reading about was fuel. When those ships go into the ports, they take on huge amounts of fuel. And I was reading that these companies, they're adding 20% water to the bulk fuel and the heavy diesel that these big ships use. And when that thing left the dock, bad fuel would cause that exact thing. Like if it gets into the system, it'll cause them to go down. It can work its way through and then pop back on. And so anyway, that was my thought.
Oh, interesting. So bad fuel is one of the theories that could have caused a power outage. Is that one of the things you're reading out there?
Yeah, because the whole ship runs on diesel. And so they buy really thick, they don't buy diesel like we put in the car. They buy extra, it's not refined as much. And when they buy it, think how big that ship is. They're buying so much fuel. If they got 15% water added, they get charged. Somebody else is making money off that.
Interesting. And, this whole mechanical concept, that was something that our guest yesterday, Kirk Ryder, actually brought up. I'll talk more on that point here right after this quick break. Stand by. Phone lines are open.
Divorced in 2023? Here's what you and your former spouse need to know when filing. I'm Jackie DeAngelis with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News correspondent and New York Times best-selling author. Join me for my brand new podcast, Searching for Heroes. Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
If you formally split from your spouse last year at any time for tax purposes, that will be your status for the entire year. This means you'll be filing as single unless you qualify as head of household. You'll also need to ensure you get a new W-4 form from your employer to adjust taxes withheld from your paycheck. And if you have children, you and your former spouse will need to work out an arrangement on who will claim the kids since you cannot double dip with dependents. Watch The Big Money Show weekday. 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Business. Jackie DeAngelis, Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The Dolly ship, there's about 4,700 containers on there. 56 were holding hazardous materials in that NTSB press conference we learned last night. Some have leaked. There's a white boat here. That's the Army Corps of Engineers, and the little boats with the blue lights, those are the Department of Natural Resources. They believe that the wreckage underneath the water is so hazardous towards the divers, they're going to move to the salvage effort to start trying to get cranes out here on barges to remove that. Concrete and the spans of the bridge or collapse there, that's going to take days, if not weeks, to remove to open this channel up, because beyond that wreckage is the Port of Baltimore, employs some 10,000 workers directly.
All right, so that was one of the Fox News Radio reports available earlier this morning, kind of with some of the latest information on that front. We got Charlie and Whitefish stood with us through the break there. But yeah, Charlie, you raised a question, could it have been bad fuel that caused this power outage? I thought it was interesting. Yesterday I was chatting with Kirk Ryder, this Montana native who's an expert in the maritime industry and in investigations just like this. And I think it was at the end of my conversation with him, but I asked him, I said, hey, what else are you looking at here? What else is interesting to you? And he said that he noticed that this ship spent a little more time at port in Baltimore than it should have. So he was wondering if maybe there were some problems with the ship that it was, and that's why it was doing some extra maintenance at the port in Baltimore. And then it seemed like that the news that came out yesterday afternoon basically said just that they were doing some work on it. But my whole thing is this is, is look, every indication, like Kirkrider said, there's every indication that this could have been an accident, that this went wrong and then that went wrong, and then and it's plausible how everything could have happened the way it did and been an accident. But Greg Franks raised a great question yesterday, which was, well, why were they so adamant that this was not a cyber attack or a terrorist attack that somehow caused this? I mean, the sun hadn't even come up over Baltimore yet, and they were already saying, no, not terrorism. No, we know it's not terrorism. I mean, I just got another message from Greg Franks just now. He says, why is the NTSB boarding the ship to do an investigation? I thought they already knew what caused the accident, right? Charlie, any thoughts from you? Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So no, I would agree. Like, I just think that, you know, when you talk about a ship that big in such a confined area and that load, like, to stop a ship like that takes a mile to stop a ship like that. And if they left the dock and they were under power, and I read that article, it was on the Discern report. I found it. In there, I was reading through, and on the East Coast, these fuel vendors, yeah, they're playing some games with their fuel for sure, and they make a ton of money when they're loading, you know, 20,000 tons of fuel on a giant ship like that if they cut some of it out and cut it with something.
Well, look at how massive the prices have gone up for fuel for all of us right now. I mean, you know, we know it just filling our tiny little tanks on our cars and our pickups here in Montana. Imagine if you were filling a massive tank on a cargo ship that would cover a gigantic swath of downtown Billings, right, given the size of that thing, or a gigantic swath of downtown Kalispell, et cetera. In fact, I think it would probably cover the entirety of downtown Whitefish. If you had that something like the size of that cargo ship there. Well, Charlie, thanks for calling in. Yeah, and again, I think it's important that people ask these questions, and I think that's the point that Greg Franks was making yesterday as well, which is why are they so adamant? Oh, no, it's not this. I mean, it's like this Shakespeare quote, why doth they protesteth so much? And I think the point is that As our expert yesterday talked about, there's every indication that this could have been an accident, and even under, you know, a power outage caused, whether it's a mechanical issue or some other accidental cause, that he gave every reason why the ship would have done what the ship did. They probably have a standard operating procedure with what they would do in the event of a power loss, right? The Mayday call went out, part of their SOP. They did this, they did that. Sounds like they followed their SOP, right? We'll find out more when they talk about the black box. But my point is this. Why are they so adamant that this was not a cyber attack or something that would have caused it, when we know that there's all sorts of cyber attacks going on against America and against American infrastructure, from the Chinese to the Russians to any other hostile actors out there? And here's the other point is, so if you were the Chinese or the Russians and you were going to launch a cyber attack and you wanted to launch a cyber attack, hypothetically speaking, wouldn't you know what the standard operating procedure is of these vessels? Wouldn't you know exactly what their response would be? So if you hit them at the exact right time, wouldn't you know what their response was going to be? Wouldn't you know how the ship might respond? And so you could. And the other thing is when bad actors, if they want to create chaos in America or any other country for that matter, they just want to create the chaos. They don't need to get the credit for the chaos. They just want to create the chaos and undermine and disrupt the nation and disrupt that country. And usually they want to do it without attribution. They want to make it happen to where it appears that it was just an accident, because they simply want to create chaos. Anyway, questions that need to be raised, especially when they protesteth those questions so much. Next up on the phone lines, Greg in Great Falls. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. I got a email from the post commander, well, on behalf of the post commander up here, VFW Post 1087. It says, comrades, we were just informed that Senator Tester is looking to meet with Vietnam and Afghanistan veterans who are currently receiving PACT Act benefits on March 28th. Please respond to this email as soon as possible, only if you are a Vietnam or Afghanistan veteran. Number two here, it says you are presently receiving PACT Act benefits. If these two do not apply to you, please disregard this email. But just a reminder that on 4-4, we will hold our officers' election. Thank you, Jose Garrido. He's the adjutant at the VFW. So I wrote back. I sent him a response. I says, I am an 80% VA disabled vet. I'm also a 30% PACT Act disabled veteran due to Kuwait oil smoke fires, Saudi dust storms, and miscellaneous toxic exposures during my active duty, which is not part of my 80% VA disability. So I am not receiving any compensation from my PACT Act disability claim. I was deployed to Saudi Arabia September 3rd, 1990, through March 9th, 1991, Desert Shield and Storm. Joe Fletcher was my BSO, and he helped me immensely on my claim process in August 1992 when I retired from Malmstrom Air Force Base after 20 years. So Tester only wants to speak to Vietnam and Afghanistan veterans. Guess that leaves me out.
So basically the PACT Act isn't doing anything for you? Is that what you're saying?
I've got 30%, but I don't get any compensation for it because of the fact that I am 80% disabled.
Oh, I see.
And the thing is I've been diagnosed with chronic sinusitis and rhinitis. But
I've been fighting the constant stuffy nose and everything.
Yeah. Back in 1992 when I filed with the VA down at Fort Harrison, but it was just a paperwork shuffle.
You know what this also sounds like to me, Greg? It sounds like John Tester desperately wants some props for the campaign. He desperately needs some props.
Yeah, and what I put on here says, so Tester only wants to speak to Vietnam and Afghanistan veterans. Guess that leaves me out, which is what Fort Harrison did, claims decline and deny. For the last 30 years of fighting the VA, now at 70 years old, I suppose I'm done. Go figure. Must be a Tester election year. And I sign that. Yeah. I sign that me, and then I put down USAF retired veteran and VFW life member. I've been a life member of the VFW for over 30 years. In 1992, I joined.
Well, God bless you, and thanks for your service. And, yeah, you know, that's what it certainly sounds like to me is, okay, here's John Tester, who had to be dragged along by the Trump White House to finally support the Mission Act. Thankfully, it was an election year then, so they were finally able to drag him along and force him to support the Mission Act. We had Darren Selnick, who worked in the Trump White House. He's, I believe, an Air Force veteran like yourself. And he was heading up veterans, VA policies, et cetera, for the Trump White House. And now he's with Concerned Veterans for America. And he was here in Montana doing these town hall listening sessions. He told us right here on this show, we had to drag Tester along kicking and screaming to get the Mission Act across the finish line. Thankfully, it was an election year. And he desperately needed to look like he was pro-veteran in the election year. And he's not, of course, he's not a veteran himself. Here's Liberal Senator John Tester, who is responsible for this invasion of America that's taking place right now, who just voted to allow men into your daughter's locker rooms and dressing rooms. So he desperately needs some props. He needs to use veterans as human shields in this election year so that the party of defund the police, so that the party that bashes our troops to the party that undermines our military and forces drag queen story hours on Malmstrom Air Force Base and bases all over this country so that that party can remain in power, and it all hinges on liberal Senator John Tester. So, yes, of course, he desperately wants to use some veterans as campaign props. We had some great callers on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Plus, we caught up with a Montana native who has served a career in the maritime industry with some fascinating insight on that Maryland bridge collapse. So if you missed Wednesday's Montana Talks, boy, you missed out. But don't worry, we got another great show coming up for you on Thursday. We'll take your calls. Plus, you never know what we're really going to talk about. I mean, we try to be on top of the latest breaking news. We want to talk about what Montanans want to talk about. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, planes, trains, and automobiles. Pete Buttigieg, failure on every single front. Guy couldn't even fill potholes as mayor of a small town in Indiana. But because of the woke identity politics, he checked a couple of boxes. That's why they put him on the cabinet. Even though he can't even do his freaking job. Let's see. We got a few messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app. Let's see. Evan and Belt, just thinking out loud, why is it that the Biden administration is giving so much more attention immediately on the bridge collapse than it did East Palestine, Ohio? Both very tragic, but don't tell me that it is not pure politics based on the voting demographics of the regions the accidents occurred in. That reminds me of a good Montana analogy as well, Evan. Remember when the historic flooding hit the Paradise Valley, Gardner, Montana? It hit Red Lodge, you know, the base of the Beartooth Pass. Two historic entryways into Yellowstone National Park. By golly, we had the FEMA director. All they would talk about is Yellowstone, 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 Yellowstone. What about Sweetgrass County? What about Stillwater County? All they wanted to talk about, Yellowstone, 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 Yellowstone. Well, what about all this agriculture out here? And I remember one of our callers made that point, and one of the Carbon County commissioners made that point too. Is hey, I appreciate you talking about Beartooth Pass and tourism and all that, but you know what? The agriculture is king out here, and it is a year-round industry. So remember the agriculture folks that got hit out here. Mike sent us a message. I'm wondering why, right after it happened yesterday, why is the United States government apparently going to cover the whole cost to rebuild that bridge? Exxon had to cover the cost of everything up in Alaska. I'm sure there's the freighter has insurance. Taxpayers should not have to pay for this. Yeah, there's a lot of people who agree with you on that front, Mike. I asked our guest yesterday about that as well, so you can hear his response on our Montana Talks podcast. And yeah, he agreed too. He was like, yeah, I don't think we, the taxpayers, should have to pay for this. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines. One more message here. This came from Jason. The NTSB will conduct an investigation no matter what, even if it's perfunctory. CYA was the message from Jason on our Montana Talks app. Oh, speaking of our Montana Talks app, I told our Montana Talks app friends earlier that I have two free tickets to the Big Air Bash at the Metro, the Octane Addictions Big Air Bash taking place at the Metro in Billings this weekend. Dan and Helena, you are the winner of those tickets. Dan and Helena, our producer Travis, will get a hold of you and figure out how to get those tickets handed off to you as well. So congrats to Dan and Helena. Let's go to Jane and Billings on the phone lines. Jane, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd like people to think about who Tester really represents. Most of his money really comes from California. I remember when he went down to California to get a whole bunch of money to support his run. So really think, people need to really think, who is he representing, California or Montana?
No, that's exactly right. Did you by chance, did you hear Stephen Miller on the show yesterday? No, and you won't offend me if you missed it yesterday, but did you hear that by chance?
No, I didn't. I was in and out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. No, exactly what you're saying is exactly what Stephen Miller, a prominent border policy advisor to President Trump, had to say yesterday. Because I asked him, I said, you know, normally liberal Senator John Tester will be, you know, very far left for 5 years out of a 6 year term. And then in the election year, he has to do the old flip flop, flat top, fake moderate game. He has to pretend to be moderate because it's an election year. But yet last weekend, he voted for all sorts of far left wackiness. Why did he cast such bad votes last weekend? And Stephen Miller basically made the point that you just said is because he needs a massive pile of campaign cash and he needs it from California and New York so that he can come back here and lie in his campaign commercials to tell people that he's a moderate. So he'll vote far left so he can get the campaign cash from the radical left mega donors. But then he can lie to you over and over again on campaign commercials.
Yeah, but I thought that senators were supposed to represent our state.
Well, they're supposed to, right?
Right. I just wanted to, you know, say, you know, his cash doesn't come from Montana.
No, you're right. You're right. And I remember last summer, I remember it because I took a few days off. I was volunteering for a great veterans program out in the Gallatin Valley. But I'd listen into the radio show from my camper in the mornings, you know, and David Noble was filling in. Remember Silicon Valley Bank and that massive bank collapse, Silicon Valley,
yeah.
California? Yeah. And while that was happening, John Tester was down there raising money from the very Silicon Valley Bank folks that Joe Biden then went and gave a bailout to just a few days later. I mean, talk about pay to play.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think the money should come because senators are supposed to be representing their state. The money should come from the state that they're from.
Well, and before the 17th Amendment, and a lot of our listeners agree with you, before the 17th Amendment, the states had power over senators. And now California and New York City mega donors have power over, well, at least Senator John Tester. Hey, very, very well said there, Jane. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. By the way, if Jane missed our chat with Stephen Miller yesterday, there's a few others of you out there that might have missed it as well. So I won't play the whole thing because we've got the full audio on our Montana Talks website. But I asked him, you know, that question. Why is Tester not playing the fake moderate game with some of these votes? And let's see, here you go. Here's what Stephen Miller said.
So this is such an important question. And the answer, which I alluded to a little bit, but just to be direct about it, is this. His entire campaign strategy, because his numbers in Montana are not looking good, his entire campaign strategy is to raise gobsmacking sums of out-of-state money from big Marxist Democrats, very, very wealthy, out-of-state, uber-liberal Democrats. And the Democrat Party of 2024, as John Tester well knows, cannot tolerate any dissent from open borders orthodoxy or trans orthodoxy, any of them, right? And so he voted to please and placate his paymasters to get their checks because, again, he thinks so little of Montanans. He thinks he can spit in your eye, kick dirt in your face, vote against your children, vote against your families, vote against your futures, and then go begging on bended knee to rich Democrats in Manhattan, Los Angeles, and elsewhere, flood the airwaves with ridiculous fake lying ads, and have a Senate seat for six more years to keep sticking it to the good people of Montana. That's his whole game plan, and that's why he voted that way, because he needed to placate his paymaster.
Wow, so well said there by Stephen Miller. All right, next up on the phone lines, Grandpa Lou in Billings. Grandpa Lou, thanks for the call. What's on your mind? Oh, my goodness. Okay, apparently he's not on the phone lines. All right, call back in, Grandpa Lou, 294-0970, and we'll get you on here before we wrap up the hour. Or, hey, if you're out there and you want to jump in on the phone lines, you can call us right now, 294-0970, or send us a message on our Montana Talks app. Let's see. I mentioned Greg Franks a couple of times already this morning. I don't even get paid to mention Greg Franks' name. Why do I keep mentioning Greg Franks' name so much here? I'm just joking. No, I had a great chat with Greg after the show yesterday. But, you know, I opened up the show by talking about how now Pete Buttigieg is saying, well, I hope the bridge collapse doesn't cause more inflation. He's looking for a scapegoat, right? And even though inflation has skyrocketed massively and continues to go up because of the massive spending by Joe Biden and John Tester, $1 trillion every 100 days, they are adding to our debt. Check out this story that Greg Franks just sent me a few minutes ago. This comes from ZeroHedge.com. CBO director warns of debt market meltdown with U.S. debt on unprecedented trajectory. Tyler Durden writes this, we've been pointing it out for so long, in fact, for most of our 15 years in existence, that it has become more of a chore than actual reporting, especially since the number only goes up and hits a new all-time high virtually every day. And I mentioned it was their piece that talked about how the debt rising by $1 trillion every 3 months or every 100 or so days. But yeah, now the director of the nonpartisan congressional budget office is warning of a debt market meltdown, according to this piece at ZeroHedge.com. Quick break. Back to your phone calls right after this. And we've got the phone lines open coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, now that there are 8 states planning a complete ban on the sale of gas-powered cars entirely after Biden unveiled his plans to phase them out by 2032? That's 8 years from now. Only zero-emission vehicles? Now we're going to ignore the science that showed that electric vehicles, because of the heavy weight of the batteries, never mind the pillaging of the Mother Earth of their cobalt and manganese and other minerals. I mean, and the fact that most of the electric grid is powered by fossil fuels. So in other words, fossil fuels still charging your vehicle. And of course, the heavy weight, you know, puts tire particles, greater numbers of it, into the atmosphere.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One of the most amazing and consequential changes in the U.S. economy since COVID has been the changing geographic pattern of growth. The population of California is actually falling, and within the larger metropolitan areas across the country, the dense central business districts are hollowing out, and changes appear to be settling in to stay. On a state-by-state basis, the new clusters of growth are apparent. It's all happening, with only a few exceptions, in the Mountain West and in the South. Montana has recovered 149% of the jobs we lost in the pandemic, which is to say that we've grown way past where we were before the recession hit us. Utah is at 200%. There are a dozen states that have yet to recover what they lost, mostly in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. The worst is Hawaii, still 20% short of their pre-COVID job totals. How and why are these growth shifts happening? Certainly remote work makes some of it possible. Taxes? Crime? It's hard to say. And it's also hard to ignore. I'm Patrick Barker.
It's your way to wealth. Visit creativeplanning.com. That's creativeplanning.com.
Hey, if you guys missed it, 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday's Montana Talks, we had a Billings, Montana native who's had a career in the maritime industry. Started off in the Merchant Marine Academy back in the mid-80s, and he gave us some fascinating insight when it comes to the bridge collapse in Maryland. If you missed it, full audio on our Montana Talks smartphone. Click the on-demand button.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, get ready to clutch your pearls. Get ready to clutch your pearls. We got a message from Jane in Hungry Horse on our Montana Talks app. Maybe the Biden administration made this ship crash, so they have something else to blame inflation on. That was from Jane in Hungry Horse. Back into the phone lines we go. Lee in Belgrade, great to hear from you.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's almost Friday.
Hey, amen to that. One of my favorite F words. Okay, so let's talk about Tester for a second. I am a veteran, and every time I see one of those commercials of veterans on it saying how much he has done for the veterans, it literally makes me throw up in my mouth. Because I don't take medical insurance through my job because I have these wonderful veterans benefits. I had a back slip. I don't know, sleeping causes that at my age. But my back slipped out, and rather than call the VA and try and get it processed, because it can take 2 weeks to get approval through the VA to be seen by a regular doctor or chiropractor or whatever. So I called the chiropractor. I found an appointment same day so I wouldn't miss more than one day of work. Went and got adjusted. Felt great. Was back at work the next day. Get a bill for $200+ from the chiropractor. Not complaining about that because that's what they do. I got a hold of the VA, wanted to see if that bill could be taken care of, and they said, no, you have to get prior approval, which can take up to 2 weeks. So here were my choices. Pay the $200 myself or miss 2 weeks of work.
Because you're laid up.
Feel better.
Yeah, no. Right. And, man, when your back is jacked up and it's – I mean, I've been in that position, and it is completely miserable. And you're right. There's sometimes when you can't even move. And so, yeah, you need that assistance right now. You can't wait on an approval from some government agency to wait a few weeks to get something done. Absolutely crazy. And Concerned Veterans for America has been documenting how those wait times are going up significantly once again now that Tester is chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Lee, thanks for your call. Sorry to cut it a little short. I know you got you got one more thing you want to share, but then I want to sneak in one more caller before we run out of time.
Because the only other thing I was going to say is there have been many appointments, and I mean many, where it has taken a month or better for me to see a doctor, a specialist, through the VA.
Mm-hmm. Adding to the bureaucracy. It's crazy. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service. I figured you were a veteran if you said you had a few favorite F-words like Friday. All right. We got another great veteran on the phone lines right now. Grandpa Lou is – I think he called back so he could be Grandpa Lou on two. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, my friend, and thank you for all that you do. Hey, I was at a fundraiser for Stacy Zinn last night, and boy, oh boy, if you don't know her, you're missing an outstanding young lady.
She's incredible,
isn't she?
You're worried
about the drugs and all the sex trafficking and the illegal aliens and stuff, and you want somebody to fight for you in eastern Montana? Wow, there is a power pack lady that is just so outstanding. She is so outstanding.
She's incredible.
Do your research, people, and you need to support this young lady. She is a treasure. Four tours in Afghanistan with the drug agency, a life career member of drug enforcement, and down in South America. She's been everywhere but to the electric chair, you know.
Well, and everybody's looking for a fighter in that. Everybody's looking for a fighter in that Eastern Congressional District. Stacy Zinn would be that fighter. She's incredible. Yeah, lots of candidates in that race. So is that your pick then? Is that who you're going to be backing for the for that congressional race? There was 9-10 candidates in that race.
Absolutely. That's it's an honor to call her friend.
All right. Well, Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you. We'll be back.